Today is Saturday, February 21st.
Two coup attempts, ex-South Korean president jailed while Trump sits in office. The Seoul Central District Court in South Korea on Thursday sentenced former President Yoon Suk-yeol to life in prison for his failed military coup on the evening of December 3, 2024. A president who launched a violent attack on the country's legislature with the intent of seizing power and overturning the constitution now faces the prospect of spending the rest of his life behind bars. While Yoon sits in jail in the United States, the world's supposed leading democracy, Donald Trump, a gangster, convicted felon, and fascist, sits in the White House. More than 5 years after launching his own violent coup attempt to seize control of Congress and overturn the Constitution in an attempt to stay in power following the November 2020 election. The treatment of these two criminals, in particular, that of Trump by the Democratic Party, holds significant lessons for workers in the U.S. and internationally. The South Korean court characterized Yoon's declaration of martial law on the night of December 3rd as an insurrection, while the special prosecutors trying the case even recommended the death penalty. Several of Yoon's accomplices in the military and police establishment also received significant jail terms. This includes former Defense Minister Kim Jong-hyun, who received a 30-year prison sentence, former National Police Agency Chief Cho Ji-ho, 12 years, and former Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency Chief Kim Bong-sik, 10 years. Presiding Judge Ji Gui-yeon stated, "Former President Yoon planned the crime personally and in a leading role and involved many people in the crime. The emergency martial law incurred an enormous social cost, and the defendant hardly expressed an apology for that." Yoon's coup attempt was the culmination of months of preparation. He dispatched troops to the National Assembly to arrest lawmakers, including leaders of both his then-ruling People Power Party and the main opposition, Democratic Party. This was done to prevent them from exercising their legal ability to vote to overturn the martial law declaration, which they would do. The court made clear that it was not convicting Yoon over the martial law declaration itself, but rather the dispatching of troops to Parliament. Judge Ji stated, "It is difficult to deny that former President Yoon inwardly aimed to make the National Assembly unable to function properly for a considerable period by blocking and paralyzing the National Assembly's activities by means of sending troops to the National Assembly to seal it off and arrest key politicians." He added, "It is also recognized that he staged a riot by sending in the military." Mass protests, as well as a growing strike movement, broke out in response to Yoon's coup attempt. On December 14, 2024, the president was impeached and suspended from office. He was arrested in January while still technically the president and ultimately removed from office in a unanimous decision by the Constitutional Court last April. Lee Jae-myung of the Democratic Party came to office in a special election shortly afterwards. Yoon was impeached, arrested, removed from office, and sentenced to life behind bars in the space of less than 15 months. For attempting to overthrow the rule of law, Yoon now joins a list of former South Korean presidents imprisoned for crimes while in office, including Chun Doo-hwan, No Tae-woo, Lee Myung-bak, and Park Geun-hye. Why is it then that South Korea's Yoon sits in jail while Trump sits in the White House? As the World Socialist website has described, Trump's January 6, 2021 coup served as a watershed moment in international politics, not only signifying a turning point in U.S. politics, but also serving as a model for figures like Yoon. In contrast to Yoon's coup plotting, which took place largely in secret, Trump carried out his actions in full view of the public, making it clear he would not accept the results of the 2020 election if he lost, and then promoting the big lie of the stolen election after Joe Biden's victory. Throughout this period, Trump whipped up an atmosphere of violence against his political opponents. He then organized a mob of far-right fascists to attack Congress on January 6th with the intent of seizing and killing elected representatives to keep Trump in office. Trump has not been held accountable for his actions in the slightest, whether in relation to the coup attempt or any of the other crimes he has committed, including his illegal attacks on Venezuela and Iran and the terrorizing of the population through the ICE Gestapo. This is not due to the political prowess of Trump or the strength and support he commands. Quite the contrary. Trump is a widely reviled figure in the U.S. and internationally. Yet the U.S. Democrats have not offered any serious opposition to this fascist agenda. Even now, as Trump assembles an armada in the Middle East in preparation for what have been called sustained, weeks-long operations against Iran, there has not a single voice of opposition from the Democrats, let alone debate in Congress, which alone has the constitutional ability to declare war. This is not accidental, but a sign of the Democrats' consent for yet another criminal imperialist conflict. At the same time, South Korea is no paragon of democratic values. For four decades, it was ruled by dictators, first the U.S. puppet Syngman Rhee, and then under the military dictatorship, first established in a coup led by Park Chung-hee. The facade of democracy that exists today was built on the scaffolding of this dictatorship. The military retains a strong influence behind the scenes, as well as close connections to Washington, as does much of the South Korean state. Yet even the Democrats, who descend from the loyal opposition to Rhee and Park, today felt compelled to act against Yoon to pay lip service to democracy. The South Korean Democrats and the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions worked to dissipate the mass movement that was developing. They seemingly gave support to protests that were called to give the impression that they were actively fighting against Yoon's attack on democracy. The decision to do so, and ultimately to remove Yoon, was meant to protect the state itself and prevent people from drawing conclusions about the necessity to break with the capitalist system. Yet the U.S. Democrats and the trade unions do not even go this far, instead bowing and scraping before the fascists in the White House, demonstrating how far even bourgeois democracy has degenerated in the U.S. It is not the person of Trump whom the Democrats bow before, but the oligarchy he represents and that dominates political and economic life. Any action taken against Trump would be seen as an infringement on the oligarchy's ability to extract profits from the working class and to wage wars overseas in pursuit of their imperialist interests. Therefore, the Democrats assure Trump of their bipartisan support while passing his budgets, including to fund the military and ICE. The Democrats are conscious that any movement against Trump, even in a limited form, could easily turn into a larger mass movement out of their control and that of their allies in the trade unions. During its 4 years in office, the Biden administration refused to take any serious actions to hold Trump accountable. Legal actions against Trump were filed largely over secondary issues, while the government took its time in bringing charges against the then former president for his role in the January 6 coup, charges that were ultimately dropped after he was reelected. No charges were brought against Trump for insurrection. Instead, the Biden administration and the Democrats paved the way for Trump to return to office by focusing their attention on the agenda of U.S. imperialism for which it needed the Republican Party's support, in particular, waging war against Russia and Ukraine and ensuring Washington's full backing for Israel's genocide in Gaza. Trump capitalized on this as well as the Democrats' arrogant indifference to the devastating impact of inflation on workers' living standards. The Democratic Party in the U.S. claims that nothing can be done to stop Trump aside from waiting for the next elections, if they are even held. Yet protests and growing public outrage towards the events in Minnesota last month demonstrated the strength of the working class, forcing the Trump administration into a tactical retreat. But what frightens the Trump administration also frightens the Democrats. That is the development of a mass working class movement against the capitalist system itself. Despite its limitations, the jailing of South Korea's Yoon exposes the lie that nothing can be done. It also exposes the fact that no opposition to Trump, even in limited forms, will come from the Democrats or any section of the U.S. political establishment. Instead, the fight against Trump and the oligarchy that both he and the Democrats defend must come through a movement of the working class.
U.S. draws up plans for Leadership Change and Targeting Individuals in Iran Strike by Andre Damon. The aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford, the largest warship ever built, transited the Strait of Gibraltar on Friday and entered the Mediterranean, placing the United States within days of having the military force in position for a massive illegal assault on Iran. Two U.S. officials told Reuters on Friday that military planning had reached, quote, an advanced stage, end quote, with pursuing leadership change in Tehran, end quote. Asked whether he was considering a limited strike, U.S. President Donald Trump told reporters, quote, I guess I can say I am considering that, end quote. The New York Times reported Tuesday that the buildup had, quote, progressed to the point, end quote, that Trump could take military action, quote, as soon as this weekend, end quote. More than 50 fighter jets, two carrier strike groups, and dozens of refueling tankers have been deployed. B-2 bombers have been placed on high alert. The Wall Street Journal detailed the hardware pouring into the region. F-35 and F-22 stealth fighters, F-15Es, F-16s, EA-18G electronic warfare jets, nine destroyers armed with Tomahawk cruise missiles, and the submarine USS Georgia. The Associated Press called it, quote, the largest force of American warships and aircraft to the Middle East in decades, end quote. An attack on Iran would constitute a war of aggression, the, quote, supreme international crime, end quote, as defined at the Nuremberg trials. Iran has not attacked the United States. There is no UN Security Council authorization. There is no congressional authorization. Trump has made clear he regards none of this as a constraint, quote, I don't need international law, end quote, he told the New York Times in January. The threat of attack comes as Iran's government has been desperately appealing to the Trump administration to negotiate. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said Friday that a draft counterproposal would be ready, quote, in the next 2-3 days, end quote, following indirect talks in Geneva this week, and that a deal could be achieved, quote, in a very short period of time, end quote. Iran's diplomatic efforts will count for nothing because for the Trump administration, diplomacy is merely a pretext and cover for murder and extortion. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro sought to negotiate with the Trump administration in the months before the January raid that seized him and his wife, offering as late as the day before to discuss a deal. The same fraud was carried out against Iran last year. The White House gave Iran a 60-day ultimatum. Five rounds of talks were held. On June 8th, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff sat in a war planning session at Camp David alongside the CIA Director and Defense Secretary. 5 days later, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, bombing more than 100 targets and assassinating senior commanders and nuclear scientists. On June 22nd, seven B-2 bombers launched Operation Midnight Hammer at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. Iran's foreign minister told the UN, quote, we were attacked in the midst of an ongoing diplomatic process, end quote. The White House demands total capitulation, no uranium enrichment on Iranian soil, dismantling of the ballistic missile program, and abandonment of regional allies. U.S. officials say privately they see no prospect of Iran meeting these. That if Iran refuses to comply after an, quote, initial limited military strike, end quote, quote, the U.S. would respond with a broad campaign against regime facilities, potentially aimed at toppling the Tehran regime, end quote. The war against Iran is a component of the eruption of American militarism all over the world. The carrier now entering the Mediterranean to attack Iran was redeployed from the Caribbean, where it took part in the seizure of Venezuelan President Maduro. The attack on Venezuela, the threatened seizure of Greenland and the Panama Canal, and the war against Iran are components of a single strategy, the use of military power to control the world's critical resources and choke points in preparation for conflict with Russia and China. A Quinnipiac poll in January found 70% of voters oppose military action. A Reuters Ipsos poll found 69% say the U.S. should not get involved in Middle East military action unless directly threatened. Despite this public opposition, the Democratic Party has systematically enabled Trump's war preparations because it speaks for the same constituency in the capitalist ruling class, which sees the colonial subjugation of the whole world as a means to prop up U.S. global hegemony. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia told MS Now on February 14th, quote, "I think it's appropriate the president has all the options on the table," end quote. On Friday, Democratic Representative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey issued a bipartisan statement with Republican Representative Mike Lawler of New York, explicitly opposing a resolution by Representatives Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna that would prohibit the use of military force against Iran without congressional authorization. Quote, "This resolution would restrict the flexibility needed to respond to real and evolving threats and risks signaling weakness at a dangerous moment," end quote, they wrote. Quote, "Congress must not limit our ability to protect Americans and our allies," end quote. Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania declared on Newsmax on February 11th his support for bombing Iran, pledging to vote against any war powers resolution. Quote, "I absolutely was fully supportive and was cheering for that midnight hammer," end quote, he said. Quote, "And now, if that's required for a second round, I'll be the one Democrat to absolutely say that's entirely appropriate," end quote. On Friday, as the Ford entered the Mediterranean and the administration announced plans for leadership change and targeting individuals, neither House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, nor Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, nor the leaders of the quote-unquote progressive wing of the Democratic Party, Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who last weekend at the Munich Security Conference repeated the administration's regime change talking points about Iran, issued any statement. The Democrats have voted to fund every weapon now being assembled for this attack. The $901 billion National Defense Authorization Act passed in the House 312-112 in December, with 115 Democrats voting yes. In the Senate, it passed 77-20, with the vast majority of Democrats in favor. In January, 149 House Democrats voted for $839 billion in defense appropriations. Pennsylvania high school students violently attacked by police during anti-ICE walkout. By Jacob Cross. On Friday, multiple high school students were arrested and physically assaulted by police in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, while conducting a walkout in opposition to the immigration Gestapo and ongoing raids throughout the country. Fewer than 10,000 people live in the small Bucks County borough, situated between Allentown and Philadelphia. roughly 35 to 50 students from Quakertown High School, aged 14 to 18, participated in the peaceful protest, walking out of class Friday morning around 11. Video shared online shows students marching on the sidewalk in the cold February rain, at times denouncing immigration and customs enforcement, ICE, and President Donald Trump. Despite the peaceful character of the demonstration, police rapidly escalated the situation. Video shows an older man with gray hair wearing tan clothing entering the crowd and physically grabbing a student. Later, he is seen placing another student in a chokehold. The man has since been identified by local sources as Quakertown Police Chief Scott McElry. In video footage circulated online, the confrontation appears to begin when McElry steps into the crowd and extends his hand toward a student, visibly gripping a student's sweatshirt. As students react and attempt to intervene, McElry is seen entangled in a struggle. Near the end of the footage, a uniformed officer forcefully grabs another student who appears to move toward the chief. The officer throws the student forward into a large planter. As the student falls, the officer can be heard stating that he saw the student, quote, punch the chief of police, end quote. Local news outlets report that at least 5 or 6 students were arrested following the confrontation. Multiple eyewitnesses told ABC 6 that police initiated the escalation. Quote, I am shaken up by it. They were children, end quote, one witness said. Quote, they were children being ganged up on by adults with no self-control, end quote. She added, quote, the situation was completely escalated by the police, and it was extremely jarring to watch, end quote. The same witness described the aftermath. At the end of it, you could see the students picking up their school binders, their laptops, their backpacks, after getting into these altercations with the police, end quote. Another witness told the outlet, quote, the man started to attack the students, and that's when the other students intervened and tried to get him to stop, end quote. Police, for their part, claim officers were responding to students who were, quote, throwing snowballs, end quote, and allegedly, quote, blocking traffic, end quote. As of this writing, no publicly circulating video shows snowballs being thrown at officers prior to the physical confrontation. Police have not released body camera or dash camera footage to substantiate their version of events. Following the police rampage, a small group of students continued to protest the police brutality. One young person was seen holding a sign now covered in the blood of students that read, "No one is illegal on stolen land." The violence against students is part of a growing pattern of nationwide repression targeting ongoing student walkouts. School districts across the country in both Democratic and Republican-led states have begun suspending students who participate in anti-ICE walkouts. In Virginia, 303 students at Woodbridge High School were informed they would be suspended for 3 days for participating in a walkout last week. The students, representing over 10% of the school's population, were told they would not be permitted to return to school until February 23rd. School Board Chairman Dr. Barbara Lateef said students were suspended not for protesting ICE, but because they left school property. In spite of the suspensions, walkouts occurred at 9 different high schools in Virginia's Prince William County Public Schools on Friday. Prior to the walkouts, the district provided principals at each of the 9 high schools with a threatening letter to send to students and staff. In the letter, the district warned students that, quote, walking out is considered an unexcused absence for which schools may issue standard penalties under the PWCS Code of Behavior, end quote. To the teachers and school workers, the letter stated, quote, PWCS employees do not participate in walkouts. Staff are expected to be viewpoint neutral and consistent in their application of discipline with all students. End quote. In San Antonio's East Central Independent School District, roughly 30 students were suspended for participating in a February 13th walkout. In an interview with the San Antonio Express News, Claire Lewis, executive director of San Antonio Students for Peace, said her group had tracked more than 50 student-led walkouts in the city over the past month. None of the previous walkouts resulted in mass suspensions. Lewis reported that an East Central student informed her that seniors who participated in the walkout were told they, quote, could not go to prom or walk the stage for graduation, end quote. Earlier in the month, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced the state would investigate school staff in districts where walkouts occurred, beginning with Austin Independent School District. Paxton declared that the purpose of schools was not to encourage students, quote, to attend a protest designed to villainize brave law enforcement officials protecting our country, end quote. The claim that the police exists to protect workers and students is a lie. The police are instruments of class rule, charged with defending the wealth and privileges of the financial oligarchy above all else. In the latest example to come to light of immigration Gestapo killing a U.S. citizen with impunity, last year, federal agents shot and killed 23-year-old U.S. citizen Ruben Ray Martinez in South Padre Island, Texas. As with the murders of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, key details concerning Martinez's killing were withheld from the public. Martinez was killed on March 15, 2025 by an ICE Homeland Security Investigations officer during what authorities described as a traffic incident connected to immigration enforcement operations. While his death was reported in local media at the time, initial reports did not disclose that a federal HSI agent fired the fatal shots through the driver's side window. The federal involvement only came to light later through internal Department of Homeland Security records. The escalating attacks on students, suspensions, arrests, threats against parents, and physical violence reflect the fears of a ruling class that recognizes the potential power of a united movement of youth and workers against the police. The fight against deportations and police repression is inseparable from the fight against the capitalist system, the source of inequality, fascism, and imperialist war. The defense of immigrants is a class question that will only be resolved in a progressive direction with the intervention of the working class organized independently on a socialist program. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jesse Thomas.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.